Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and the UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and standard printer. No special supplies or equipment. Within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. And you'll get exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and UPS. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. No traffic, no lines. Cut the confusion out of shipping. With Stamps.com's new rate advisor tool, you can compare shipping rates and timeliness to easily find the best option. As a small business, we ship swag to Patreon and merch, and Stamps.com makes life so much easier. We are able to print and pack everything without going anywhere. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with my promo code POD, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD. That's Stamps.com, promo code POD. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. So, as you know from last episode, I was feeling a little bit under the weather. I'm feeling a lot better. I think that I probably still sound a little bit nasally, but I don't think it's offensive. I hope you don't turn it off. I think I'm better enough, right?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. You sound a lot better.
Good. Because I don't want to be, like, grating on everybody and have them be like, I can't listen to this. But.
No.
Thank you for the feedback. I feel better. I just want to give you guys a little bit of background around this case before I hop in. I'm taking a risk, one that I usually don't do, just because this is a very recent case. Things are developing rapidly, in a sense. There's some more media coverage coming this way, and I want to be a part of that, getting this story out there. This is in the wake of Gabby Petito, of course, when this person first went missing. And he is a black male, and just like with Jelani Day, this case came up along with his as needing to get the same type of coverage that someone like Gabby did. I just want to be transparent with you. I just want to make sure, as we always do and check in with you guys, that we're trying to get these cases covered. Everybody deserves as much coverage as possible. I don't know how I would feel if I was a parent and I'm like screaming that I need help and no one is helping me. It must feel absolutely devastating and isolating and hopeless. But if we can help get one more case to another person that hasn't heard about it, then I want to be a part of that. I want to bring it to you.
Yeah, and, you know, as we said, I think we said it a few weeks, months, I don't even know at this point, back. The more we dive into these cases, the more episodes we do, right, the more cases we're going to cover that are less known, but they're still so important. They're actually, in my opinion, more important because they aren't getting the Maura Murray type media coverage. I don't mean more important in a way that their life is valued more, but I mean more important, like, they aren't getting the spotlight, so we need to focus on them.
Right, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Like I said, this case is relatively new and playing out now, so I don't have a whole lot of information, and obviously we don't have boatloads of information about someone's background, because when something's going on and it's new in the media, we tend to focus on what is the timeline that led up to their disappearance. We aren't talking about where they were born or what kind of student they were. Although I do have a little bit of that information, you have to remember that those aren't the things that people are going to when there's urgency to find someone.
We actually shy away from cases that are in the media because, like, Amy texted me this morning and said, hey, I'm going to do a case that's risky. And I was like, risky? First of all, if you don't know Amy at all, she is, like, risk adverse. And I was like, what do you mean risky? And the reason is because there's so much happening, like, in a case that's happening recently, it's, you know, we run the risk of, we're recording this now, it may not get released for 3-4 weeks, and something could happen.
Absolutely. So it is important to preface that if you go look up this case when it is released on release day, there might be a couple recent articles, and you'll say, hey, why didn't you guys cover that? Well, keep in mind, we're at beginning to mid-November, so.
I was just going to say, we don't normally say when we record. Like, we don't normally say today is. Do you want to on this case, just for frame of reference?
I would love to if I knew what date it was today.
It's November 15th.
There you go. Thank you. Don't know how I make it day to day, but somehow I manage.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, the case I'm going to tell you about today is the case of Daniel Robinson. Daniel was born on January 14th of 1997. He is 24 years old. I'm not sure where he was born, but his father lives on the East Coast, and I believe he might either be living in or from the Charlotte area.
Okay, North Carolina.
Correct. I'm not sure about the details of his mother, and I'm unsure how many siblings Daniel has, but I did see that he had a brother in an interview, and his sister has been talked about too. But there could be other siblings. I'm not purposely leaving them out. I just don't know about them. Daniel is described as quite special. He was smart. He was very kind. But he could be difficult in a sense. Now, when I say difficult, I actually don't mean that in a negative way at all. Some children are difficult in the sense that if you've heard the term spirited child or one that is just very determined and steadfast in getting what they want, that is kind of what I mean when I talk about Daniel. His father has said in an interview that when Daniel wanted to do something, he was going to get it done. An applicable example is Daniel was actually born without one of his hands. It wasn't because of an accident. It was just the way that Daniel was born. Daniel's father stated that his mother would try to have him use prosthetics over and over and over again. I think as a mother, you know, you don't want your child or you fear that your child will be bullied or hurt or feel different. And your impulse is to help them to use the tools to help them to fit in or to feel good and confident about themselves. But Daniel seemed to just organically have this good, positive, strong sense of self. And he would just say that he wants to be who he is. He refused to wear the prosthetics, which I don't know many children that would make a choice like that. But he was very comfortable with who he was. From what I know, Daniel appeared to grow up without incidents. And what I mean by that is there was no trauma that I'm aware of. There was no bullying. There was no anything really, divorces, troubles with friends. Just he went to school. He did what he should have done, worked really hard, and eventually graduated. He went to school and he graduated to become a geologist, which his father states is rare in and of itself, but to be a person of color in this field was probably even more rare. I believe he said he was the minority in the field and his company. Daniel moved to Arizona, and he moved with his sister, and I'm not sure if they had plans to move together, if she had an opportunity out there, or was it coincidence or not? I'm not sure, but either way, I think that's a pretty great progression of events, because to move across the country, away from home, if you've never been there, not knowing anyone, I mean, I'm sure you can relate better than anyone, Melissa. Like, how great is it to have your sister with you?
Oh, I mean, it's my sister, my parents. Like, it's, I couldn't have imagined doing it without my family around.
Right. So it probably made a very easy transition for him.
For sure.
Daniel became employed at a company, which he was able to remain a geologist. So he didn't just get his degree for geology and do nothing with it and go manage a store somewhere. He was actually using his degree. Even though Daniel moved across the country, he maintained his connection with his family. He may not have spoken to them every single day, but they did speak a few times a week. And his father said when they did speak, they would speak for probably a couple of hours on the phone. So it would have been very unusual to not have heard from Daniel in more than a couple of days. And also, you can't forget, even though it's not mentioned, that most people Daniel's age probably have social media. So if you're like my family and a lot of my friends and their families, we're not talking on the phone every day, but we look at each other's social media. It shows up on your timeline and you kind of know what your family is doing, right?
Oh, for sure.
That's an assumption on my part, but I don't think it's a wild one that that's what a lot of families do to also maintain a connection between each other. So I'm not sure exactly when Daniel moved to Arizona. I don't know exactly how long he was employed at his job, but everything had seemed to be going pretty well, and it seemed like a normal day, any day where Daniel would go to work. On June 23rd of 2021, Daniel arrived at Buckeye, Arizona at his work site at 9 a.m. Now, Buckeye, Arizona is the westernmost suburb of Phoenix, and it's described as a pretty secluded and mostly desert area. I mean, it's Arizona. Is that really a big surprise? No. But this is not the city. This is out in the middle of the desert where Daniel is working. So I do hear some discrepancies with this next chain of events. I'll try to point that out a little bit. But when you go to look it up, you might notice those discrepancies too. So Daniel arrived at his work site at 9 a.m. Now, from what I understand, he worked with a man that day that is contracted from another company, but they were set to work on this site together. Some say very unclearly that it was the same company. Some say this is basically the first time that they met. And judging by the chain of events, I think that might be more accurate that they had never met before. Daniel arrived, and apparently he was acting kind of strange. Now, I don't know exactly what the body language was like and so on, especially how a person is able to judge that if you've never met this person before. But this is what he ended up reporting to investigators. And I believe this is what the families reported, that he was acting strange and he kind of said he was tired on and off a few times. And shortly after he arrived at work, Daniel actually left, and he was heading west, away from the site. Now, this is the last time that Daniel was seen. But this coworker apparently let his boss know that Daniel left the job site. He wasn't well, or he was acting funny or whatever. And then no one had seen or heard from Daniel throughout the rest of the day. Now, this was kind of strange because what I understand is that Daniel actually had pretty decent work ethic. This part is a little bit fuzzy as well, and I'm kind of assuming some dates. From what I understand, Daniel's employer ended up contacting Daniel's sister because they live together and saying, do you know where Daniel is? He's not here. He left work. And she was just kind of like, no, he's not here. I don't know what happened. I imagine what happened was Daniel's sister contacted their family. And their family became concerned. Daniel's family immediately tried to file a police report, to which the police said, you have to wait X amount of time. In this case, it was not 24 hours. It was 12 hours, but still, 12 hours is time lost. The family had then waited their 12 hours and filed the missing persons report. The family then requested a helicopter search the area on the 24th. And my understanding is that they did get that request granted, but it did not actually take place until the 25th. My understanding at this point is police were slow to initially begin the investigation, but they did end up investigating. They've done desert searches, and they continue to do desert searches, and they have not found anything. On July 19th, Daniel's car, a Jeep, was found overturned by a rancher. Daniel's phone, his keys, and his wallet were inside. The police didn't suspect foul play, but his family kind of felt iffy about this, and they ended up hiring a private investigator. I don't know that this is the only reason they hired a private investigator, or if this was the icing on the cake or whatnot, but at this point, that's what they did. What they ended up finding from this vehicle was that it seemed as if the driver was wearing a seatbelt when the initial crash happened. The airbags were then deployed. The car's computer system had a story to tell. What it found was that the ignition system showed that the car had been started or attempted to start upwards of 40 times. And it showed that the car had driven 11 miles after the initial crash. The odometer and the car's computer system do have a discrepancy, which I believe the manufacturer has said is not bizarre or odd by any means. Nevertheless, that's kind of where that ended.
So, hold on. That's weird. So the Jeep? So the Jeep was driven off the road, got in an accident, and then tried to start over 46 times, and then drove 11 miles?
What I believe happened is that the Jeep was initially in an accident. After the accident, the airbags were deployed, as with most accidents. The car was then, or the driver attempted to start the car upwards of 40 times. Then, I imagine that the car did eventually start, to which it got in a second accident, which led to it being overturned.
Okay, keep going.
So that's really the chain of events that have happened. I will tell you that the family continues to search nearly every weekend. The father is a veteran of the military. He describes being in the desert as nothing to him. He's already done this before, and it's his job to find his son. So he spends countless hours, weekends, searching for his son in a very methodical way. They have found several remains, human remains, in the desert that obviously have been missed, or I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yes. I don't know how many.
So is this like the Gabapentino case where we just keep finding bodies?
That's my understanding, yes. At one time, they did hope and think that the remains would be identified as Daniel's. Not because anyone, of course, would want that, but because there would be an answer. and they were not identified as Daniels. I don't know whose they were, but from what I understand, there was more than one or two other bodies or remains that have been recovered from the desert.
Well then.
Looking into Daniel and his behaviors over the last several weeks, possibly months of his, before his disappearance, several people did say that Daniel was acting strange. His sister identified a couple of behaviors that didn't sit right with her, such as Daniel stating that he was having an emergency, but when she tried to call him and text him, he was unresponsive. Some people said that he was behaving strangely. His sister had also said that one day he came in, basically sat in silence for 30 minutes, stared at the wall, the ceiling, I don't know, before he got up and left. It has also been uncovered that he told his family that he was in love with someone, but knew very little about this person, and didn't really talk too much else about her, only saying that she was someone that he probably wasn't going to end up being with. It was discovered that at his part-time job through Instacart, he had been delivering groceries to someone, and this someone had a friend staying with them or over for the evening. And I guess they thought it would be fun to invite Daniel in, who was the Instacart driver. And when he was invited in, they really hit it off. Daniel got her number. And then Daniel started behaving a little bit strangely, to which he would text her and basically say that he was outside her house and hopefully she was around so they could hang out. This person ended up saying to him that she didn't want him to do that, that it felt really creepy. She did ask him to stop texting and contacting her, and he did.
Well, yeah, that's weird.
It is, absolutely. That's basically all the information that we have. Like I said, this information about the computer system in the Jeep is the most recent information. Other than his father continuing to do interviews wherever he can, he's been on Dr. Oz and things like that. That is the last piece of evidence that I have heard in the media as of recent. And his father continues to spend every spare moment he has searching, but we don't have any indication of what happened to Daniel. So the theories, there aren't too many. There is foul play suspected, if not by the police, at least his family. I could say possibly a walk away from your life or died by suicide. Other than that, there aren't too many. No one really had a grudge for him, although the situation between Daniel and the female is something that doesn't really sit right. It's more a reason for possibly leaving your life or a died by suicide than it would be that they were connected in the way of foul play.
So, can I ask you something?
Sure.
When you throw it through Google, a lot of articles talk about him being obsessed with a woman he didn't know, or barely knew. Is that how we would characterize it?
Yes.
I know the media can, like, blow things out of proportion.
I found it rough to conclude anything. So, there was an article that had what seemed like specific conversations between them where he was like, I'm here, want to hang out, and she was like, no, please, that freaks me out, please don't do that, please don't just show up here when I'm not here. It doesn't seem like it went on too long, and eventually she said, I want to put an end to us talking, and it appeared as though he backed off. Now, I don't know, outside of his family, how many people he shared that he loved this person with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I don't know that he had a whole bunch of friends that he was saying, I'm in love with this person. It doesn't sound like he made up anything about their relationship. I guess, in short, I don't feel comfortable fully saying obsessed, just because I don't have enough information. Do I think some of these behaviors were abnormal? Yes. Do I think that I would have felt uncomfortable myself? Yes. I don't know what it means when she said, please stop contacting me, and he did that.
Okay. Okay, so tell me what your thoughts are. I mean, I don't think... Where are we getting the died by suicide angle from?
Well, the reason I thought about that was that if he had loved this woman, and she has in essence rejected him, did he carry around some hopelessness or depression and drive off from his job site and venture into the desert or somewhere else and die by suicide or leave his life? And was the Jeep really just unrelated, that someone found a vacant Jeep, took it, got in an accident?
Heck no.
No. Okay.
What are the chances of that?
Well, if you leave your keys in your car, maybe? 'Cause my first thought was, what if kids hanging out in the desert, smoking, drinking, whatever they're doing, come across a Jeep, they look inside, the keys are in there, they want to go drive through the desert, have some fun, drive too fast, crash it, get it going again, and then crash it again, except this time it's overturned. Now you've got nothing.
I don't buy in.
But if we believe that, then he took his car away from his work site, stopped, got out, and walked?
Or he was being chased and got an accident and then was hurt.
And then walked off into the desert? He had a cell phone with him.
I don't think he walked off. If he was being chased, he would have been, like, kidnapped or...
What would be the motive for chasing him?
What would be the motive for crashing the car and then driving it again?
If I was a kid and it wasn't my car and I could get it up and running again, I can continue driving. Like, I would continue driving and having a good time.
Okay, but we're not talking about an inner city where, like, bait car happens, which, if you don't know, is a hilarious TV show where they put, like, a car with keys in it in a bad area. And then someone steals it and they pull them over. And they almost always are like, oh, I was just moving it to a safe place. Whatever. Oh my goodness, it's hilarious. If you ever, like, want to laugh, it's because they always get pulled over and they're always like, oh no, I just saw it, the keys in it, and I just wanted to make sure that the person, you know, it was safe, so I'm moving it somewhere nicer. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we aren't in a place where... You just stumble across cars. So the odds of that, I think that he had to have been the one in the accident.
Then what happened to him?
Okay, so just hear me out for a second. What if he got a brain injury during the accident and tried to walk for help?
Then I guess I would say to myself, how far could he have gotten that he would be outside of the search radius of all of these searches?
I don't know. It was just a thought.
Hey, it's better than what I have.
Which is?
And it's not like he's driving in the desert and it's dark. It's 10, 11, even 12 in the daytime in June.
Right. But if you got a head injury...
I was just saying, he's not speeding in the dark and doesn't know where he's going. Like, he has the light to guide him a little.
Okay, well, I don't think he died by suicide. I don't think he left his life. I think that either he is running from something and encountered foul play, or he got hurt in the accident and is out there somewhere, likely deceased from his injuries.
You just think he hasn't been found yet?
Yes. Well, if it's foul play, then I don't know who, what, when, where, why. So I have no idea about that. But if it's a car accident resulting in injury, yeah, I just think he hasn't been found yet.
you think he got in a car accident, got his car to start, drove it maybe 11 more miles, if that's accurate, and got in another car accident where he overturned the car.
Let's say he gets in a car accident and airbags deploy. He probably gets some sort of injury, right? But he's like, I have to get to a hospital. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And then because of his injury, mm-hmm. when he starts driving again, it's erratic. He's in pain. He's trying to figure it out. And somehow he goes off the road again. This time hits like an embankment, rolls the car, and is like, I just need to walk away. I need to walk to get help.
Sure. But you wouldn't try with your phone first? And I get it. If you're injured, maybe you're not in your right frame of mind.
Did he have his phone on him the whole time?
Yes.
And it just went dead?
Mm-hmm. There's no indication it was dead.
So when did it stop pinging?
I don't know the details of that. I'm just saying that there's no indication that I've read that the phone was ever dead.
Well, maybe it got crashed up in the accident.
Maybe.
Because if it's shattered, you're not going to use it.
Because they could have used it, I get it, to find the vehicle.
Right, that's what I was kind of going for. But if it's, like, shattered or whatever, he can't make a call on it.
Mm-hmm. There's one more piece of evidence here that, I don't know, it may sway you. I had it written here in the margin, and I overlooked it. But police had asked Daniel's father to check his son's social media and stuff. And when he checked his social media, and this is only a day or two after he initially disappeared, he had found that most, if not all, of his pictures on Instagram had been deleted. And that was the 24th or the 25th. I don't know exactly when the date was that they were deleted, but I know that Father took notice at that point.
Well, I officially hate you.
You're welcome.
Because that makes me wonder if he left his life.
I know, right?
Because it's random foul play. They're not going to be like, okay, I kidnapped you. Now delete your Instagram.
Right.
And if he's just doing it as like a signal, he would be DMing someone or calling someone or doing something else. Well, Amy, thanks a lot for that.
I know. There's always one more thing to throw a wrench in the whole case.
So where do you land?
I think I kind of land, even though I argued with you about this just seconds ago, with he got in an accident, was injured, tried to drive the car, flipped the car, and because of some injury did wander off and he has not been found yet. Or a more hopeful possibility is that he still is wandering.
Well, this is terrible.
I don't, you know, the foul play aspect, I certainly understand why it's a theory, 100%. I guess I wouldn't understand where the motive came from, unless it was a complete, at random, targeted thing.
Unless it was, like, the woman that he was, quote-unquote, obsessed with, her friends, family. But I feel like that's really dramatic.
It wouldn't really make much sense to me after he had stopped.
Right. And that's why I said it's actually really dramatic. Like, you'd go to the law enforcement, you wouldn't let him off the road.
100%. And obviously, this is still developing, so we will probably find out more. His father has pretty much gotten all of the coverage, pleading with people to hear him, listen to him. You'll see interview after interview with him.
Do we know why he left his job site at 9 in the morning?
All the person that he was working with kept saying was that he was acting funny and he said a few times that he was really tired before leaving.
Well, that's not helpful either.
Could he have been having a medical episode that he didn't know he was having?
What if he fell asleep driving? Know. Which caused the accident.
It's absolutely possible.
But then why delete your Instagram?
Could it have been completely coincidental? He's been invested in someone. She rejected him. He just kind of wants to erase everything, start over. I don't know.
This makes my head hurt.
I agree with you. Listen, this case is out there right now. Keep spreading it. Keep sharing it with people. This poor family is hurting for their son. They want to know what happened. It makes very little sense. Honestly, talk about the theories. What do you think? Is there something that we haven't thought about? Or the foul play aspect. Can you think of any reason why someone would want to harm him? And if it is foul play, then I think that would involve the Jeep. And how would that play out?
Nothing makes sense to me. The Instagram is really what gets me. So please tell us what your thoughts are, because I don't know. I can talk myself into the car accident, to a medical emergency, to him falling asleep, to all of that. And then I don't love the fact that he could have walked, like, just walked and gotten lost or whatever. But why delete your Instagram and not call for help?
That is a big problem that I have with being in an accident. The only thing is that you're so injured that it doesn't occur to you to use your phone, which is entirely possible. However, I feel like if you can wander, then I don't know. I'm not a nurse. I can't even say, or a doctor.
Yeah. I don't know. Tell us what you think, because I'm lost.
All right, guys. We will be back next week with an all-new episode. Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.